Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father, we are grateful and thankful for another day. Lord, we thank you for giving the opportunity to gather at your feet to hear your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to our hearts, transform us, Spirit of the living God. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and please be seated. We've been talking about mega church. We've been sharing from our father's book, The Mega Church, and today we want to continue and we want to talk about the principles of church growth. Amen. Principles of church growth. You are not excited? Oh. You know, you always ought to be excited when we talk about the church. When we talk about the church is the most important thing to God. Hallelujah. It's a precious thing to God. Amen. And so whenever we are talking about the church, be excited. Hallelujah. Today we are talking about principles for church growth. If you have the book Mega Church, we are sharing from chapter 13, the last chapter. So we are going to talk about principles for church growth. Hallelujah. Now, these principles are for all of us. They are not principles for pastors only. Amen. If you are a Christian, one of the things that must concern you seriously is the church. Hallelujah. It's the church. The church must concern you. One of the things that you really want to get yourself involved in is the church. Hallelujah. I tell you, this is the one project that Jesus says he will undertake. He says, I will build my church. This is Jesus. If there's anything that he says he will build, it is the church. He says, I will build my church. This is his church. Hallelujah. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. You know, so if you are undertaking any project, you say, I will build my home. I will build my home. And economic difficulties and crisis and all of these things cannot withstand it or cannot fight against it. Or I will build my company and economic challenges and difficulties cannot fight it or cannot bring it down. I think it will be one great company to join. Don't you think so? It will be a company that you want to join. A company where there is an assurance and guarantee that economic changes will not affect it. It's a job security. Taxes will not affect it. Elections will not affect it. You must want to work in that company. There are some companies that all the things that are happening, they are still there. Some of these big banks and so on, these financial companies, you know, there are some of them that are so strong, nothing can affect them. Wouldn't you want to work in a company like that? Now, here is Jesus saying, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He says, the demons of hell, will not prevail against it. I think it's a project that I want to include myself. It means that anyone who is a part of this project, anyone who is part of this building project, you are protected that gates of hell will not prevail against you. Demons cannot fight you. You become relevant to Jesus if you are part of his project. And he's acknowledging that with this project, the gates of hell will rise against it. Don't make any mistake. This is why church building is very difficult. Because Jesus acknowledges that this project, the gates of hell will rise up against it. They will fight it. They will resist it. They will oppose it. If you stand up to do anything, they will rise up. But he's giving you the assurance that if you include yourself in this project, you are protected. You are covered. The gates will not prevail against you. Amen. It means your health becomes relevant to Jesus. Jesus ought to keep you healthy so that you can continue with this project. I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you. So it's a project that you want to be a part of. Hallelujah. So 12 principles for church growth. Number one, the principle of the multiplied senior pastor. The principle of the multiplied senior pastor. Hallelujah. Now, can you imagine if there were 12 senior pastors in this church like myself? You know, if you can become one of the multiplied senior pastors. If you can become one of them, it means that there will be 12 pastors at work at any time. There will be 12 pastors. Hallelujah. Whatever the pastor is doing, you can do it also. Amen. So logically, it means we could have 12 pastors that are working. 12 ministers that are working at any time. Jesus knew that one person cannot do all this work. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Jesus wants a large church. He wants a church that is filled. He doesn't want church that is empty. That is not what he wants. When he sees that, he says to the servants, go and invite people that my house will be filled. He knows there's something good in his house. He says he has prepared a banquet for people to come in. Go and bring them. Is somebody listening to me? So we want people who will rise up to do the work of pastors, to do the work of ministers. You don't have to be called a pastor or a lady pastor. Amen. So for instance, if the pastor at the end of the service, I am meeting 10 people. I am meeting 10 people. 10 people want to speak to me. And there are other 12 of people, 12 of other pastors, or 12 other members who can play the role of a pastor. And each one is also meeting 10 people. How many people can we meet on a Sunday? 130. 12 plus the pastor. That will be 130 people who will be met, whose needs can be addressed. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you? This is how we can pastor people. Not just one person. Jaden and Jaden, are you listening? Yes. that you rise up and then you have 10 youth that you are meeting, and you also have 10 that you are meeting. Amen. And we can do it. Hallelujah. I said we can do it. The senior pastor is not a superman. The pastor is not a superman. The pastor cannot do everything that is important in the church. It's impossible. Hallelujah. That is a sure recipe to keep our church small when we succumbed to that. That it is only the pastor who can meet people. It is only the pastor who can address needs. But we need people who will rise up with that role also. Hallelujah. If I'm able to counsel, you are able to counsel as well. Hallelujah. One person cannot attend to all these people. Amen. If we try to visit the pastor, the senior pastor alone, trying to visit, trying to counsel, and trying to meet the need of everyone, he will go crazy. I'm telling you, he will go crazy, and you will not be happy. You will say, the pastor didn't have time for me. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening to me? There is a limit to what any one of us can do. That is why we have many people assigned the role of basenta leaders. Basenta leaders. Hallelujah. There is a reason why we do all of these things. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. He ordained how many? 12. That they should what? He ordained 12, or he chose 12. Are you listening? Yes. He ordained 12 that they will be with him, and that he might do what? People are not reading the Bible. You see, that is, I want you to read. It says, he ordained 12 that they should be with him. When they have been with him, he would have trained them. He would have taught them. They would have heard the teachings. Shelley, are you listening? Yes. That they would have heard the teachings. And they would have been with him. And then he would send them to preach. To preach. So he never intended that he's going to do all the preaching. Jesus never intended that he's going to do all the preaching. He knew that if he will call 12 to be with him, if you have been with us, you have been here, you are ready to be sent to preach. He says that he will send them forth to preach. And the next verse, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. The same thing as he was doing. Jesus intended that he will have people who will be with him, who can also go out to preach and to heal and to deliver them from devils. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So it was never intended. Even Jesus needed people to help him do this. So we need, if you have been with us for a while, you have been a member, and I'm looking at all of you, you have been members of this church for a while. Are you listening? You ought to rise up to that position. Vicky, yes. You ought to rise up to that level that you gather people to teach them. You gather people to share the word of God with them. Amen. Gladys. Huh? You have been a member of the church for a long time. Hmm? that you rise up to that level. Wake up, everyone. I'm not going to call your name, so look at me. Eric. Hallelujah. You are an apostle. You are an apostle. Yes, this man, he has affinity to bring people to church. If you don't carry on, you backslide. There is a gift of God on you that people will follow you to church. Amen. Are you listening? Yes. Jesus called 12 to be with him, that he will send them forth to preach. Donna. You're supposed to be a lady pastor by now. Yes. You can't always sit down. Jesus called you to be around, that you'll be sent forth also to preach. To preach. Amen. Every one of you can do. Mabel. Wow. Don't you agree with me that you should be Lady Pastor Mabel? You agree with me? You agree with me? Yes. Nancy. Yes. Amen. The gift of God is in us. Hallelujah. I believe that many of us can preach. Many of us can preach. Amen. Many people who are receiving the word right now are capable of also rising up into ministry and to teach. Amen. Number two, the second principle. The second principle is the principle of maximized Sunday usage. We are talking about how the principle for church growth, the things that we ought to apply if we want our church to grow. The principle of maximized Sunday usage. To maximize the usage of Sunday. Hallelujah. The principle of Sunday, using Sunday to its fullest, is effective. Why? Because traditionally, people have dedicated Sunday to both resting and going to church. How many of you agree with me? Many people have dedicated Sunday to be a day of rest. They go to church and then they come home to rest. Do you understand? Many people. And that is why we ought to capitalize on that. That is why we have to seize that opportunity and minister to the people when they are most available. Amen. We have selected people. We have made them shepherds, bacenta leaders, and they only function on Tuesday evening. Bacenta leaders, their function is, they have limited their function to only Sunday evening. Our shepherds who have no day. That is why we ought to rise up. We have young people who need to rise up. Amen. Even the bacenta leaders this Tuesday evening, sometimes they don't even prepare. They don't prepare. Even that Tuesday evening. But that is not supposed to be the work. You see, we are supposed to minister to the people. And one of the days that we can really minister is Sunday. Sunday is available. Sunday is a day that most Christians have dedicated to be a day of going to church and coming home to rest. So Sundays we can visit people. We can do a lot of our things on Sundays. Hallelujah. Since so many of the church members are available on Sunday, it is only wise to use Sunday to its fullest. Hallelujah. Jesus worked on Sundays, On a day of worship, he worked. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. You see, because there are some people, they have a tradition of what Sunday should be. You know, we are calling it a working day. And every Christian should dedicate Sunday to be a day for the Lord. You dedicate a day that you use to serve God. Amen. Don't let Sunday be a day that you come for a quick church service and go home. To do what? To rest. But make it a day that you use to serve God. You have given the Lord one day of the 7 days that he has given to you. That Sunday is for the Lord. Some of you, Sunday, even coming to church is even a problem. It's not even for the Lord to come to church. But make Sunday, make it your lifestyle. That Sunday, I give to the Lord. I give Sunday to the Lord. He has given you 6 days of it to do whatever you want. 5 days you have used to work. The sixth day you have used to cook and wash and shop and do all kinds of things. And then Sunday, give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on Sabbath day. He had done some healing. He has done some work on Sabbath day. And so they sought to persecute him. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So he says that the Father is working on this worship day. Therefore, I work. Hallelujah. Therefore, I work. That is why when you join the Father on a day like this to work, he helps you. It's fulfilling. Amen. And you realize that we can do a lot on Sunday. By the grace of God, if we find our own place, we can do our rehearsals, we can do our meetings, we can do shepherds' meetings. I will have the opportunity. I want to meet the youth. I want to have meetings, weekly meetings with the youth. That is what my vision is now. So if I can have multiplied pastors who are doing all the other work, that I can even dedicate the time with them. Because these are our future, the future leaders, the future pastors, the future instrumentalists, the future ushers, the future everything. Are you listening? And that is where we are heading. So we want you to make your mind that Sunday is for God. Sunday is for God. Some of you are quick to leave church on Sunday. Right after service, it's as if someone is driving you away. Sometimes some of you, I intend to speak to you. By the time I realize, you're gone. Eric, I would like to see you after church. Amen. The preaching is on Eric today. Yes. I feel that this man has a lot to offer to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So Sunday is a full working day for all of us. It must be. Amen. How many of you agree with me? Andre, Sunday must be our working day. Where is Tiffany? Tiff, Sunday must be our working day. We should be here and do all our things, all of our meetings. Do all our work on Sunday. Hallelujah. And God will bless us. Oh, yes. God will bless you. Amen. So visitation is effective on Sunday because many people are home on Sunday afternoons. Many Christians after church, they go home. And that is when we ought to visit them. We cannot make our work time 8 a.m. Mondays. You can't visit people on Monday at 8 a.m. Our church work is not 9 to 5 from Monday to Friday. Nobody will be available for you to minister to, even if you want to. Amen. Are you listening to me? So we cannot find ourselves 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. at home, frying all kinds of things. Do you understand? We want to have that time doing the Lord's work. From morning to late evening. By the grace of God, God is going to open a door for us. We will have our own place. I believe it. There is so much. It's affecting our activities. It's affecting what we can do. Affecting our meetings. Affecting our rehearsals. Affecting everything. And it should trouble you. It should bother you. Listen, let the Lord's work concern you. Let it be a concern to you. You cannot focus on your work and leave the Lord's work. It will not work. It will not work. You cannot wake up and all that is on your mind is your work and leave the Lord's work. Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that man, we are but mere breath. Mere breath. Do you understand? That means it's just a matter of breath away and you are there no more. You are not there anymore. Just breath. Hallelujah. And it's a real thing. We are nothing. We are nothing until you see that someone cannot breathe for a few minutes. Few minutes. And the person is dead. They say you are there. Your heart is beating, but your brain is dead. The brain is dead. For few minutes of no breath. It's a serious thing. Do you understand? It's a serious thing. That is why suffocating is one of the worst things for anyone to experience. That's why when someone is suffocating, they fight. They fight. But when God is suffocating, you can fight. And he's the one that can give you the breath. Hallelujah. Sometimes, anyway, let's continue. Let's not spoil. Change the message. So Sunday is our full working day. We are supposed to work on Sundays for the Lord. Hallelujah. We are supposed to work on Sundays. Amen. So from today, begin to consider yourself as a Sunday worker. You are a Sunday worker. Audrey, you are a Sunday worker. Amen. Sunday is not a day of rest for you. Hallelujah. Shelly, Sunday is a day that you are supposed to... Where is Sheila? Perhaps this message is for you. Shelly, Sunday is a day of working for the Lord. Abba, it's a day that we set to work for the Lord. It's not a day that we are quickly going to work. It's a day for the Lord. Everyone must make their minds up that Sunday you dedicate it to the Lord. Everyone should have that mind. When I come and leave my home on Sunday, I'm not rushing. It's for the Lord. Today, right after here, we have the meeting. Are you listening? So Sunday is a working day for a Christian. And it's not a working day for Pharaoh. It's a working day for the Lord. You dedicate Sunday to work for the Lord. Think of how many people who can attend or we can attend to on Sunday. Think of how many people. Think of the many people you can attend to if your Sundays are used for the Lord. And look at how many hours you would have worked for the Lord if every Sunday you dedicated to the Lord. From today, make your mind that you are a Sunday worker. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't ever be in a rush to leave here and go. And God will help you. Amen. Your week will be helped by angels. Amen. I'm telling you, God will give you strength for the week. Hallelujah. The third principle is the principle of smaller subdivisions. Principle of smaller subdivisions. So smaller subdivisions within the church allow for better pastoral care. When we divide ourselves into smaller subgroups, it allows for better pastoral care. And that eventually leads to established members and then to church growth. When we are able to care for people in smaller groups, hallelujah. Sometimes there are questions that are on your mind and you can't even ask the question on a Sunday like this when we are having a service. But in smaller groups, when we meet in smaller groups such as our bus center, you can ask these questions. Are you listening? The smaller groups now become the family. They become the different families in the church that you belong to. So every church member must belong to a smaller group of family members. Amen. Hallelujah. Where your needs are met. Where we can know more about you. We can know more about your needs. Amen. Sometimes people come to church, they have things that they want to discuss with the pastor, and then they see how many people are waiting to talk to the pastor, and then they leave. But when you are a part of the small group, your needs will be met. We will know what is happening with you, what is going on with you. When we look in our list, you have your small group list that you are looking at. You know? And even this small group, the leaders are not calling. But we want this group to be active. We want it to be a means by which we minister to the people. We want people to feel a part of the small group. Amen. It's within the small group that we know that you are going for a job interview. This one is having this. This one is pregnant. This one has found a beloved. This one has found this. Have you told pastor? This one has this. Have you told pastor? This is when we address and then direct things to the pastor. Otherwise, people have things that they are far off and no one knows. People have needs that ought to be met. Amen. So these small groups, they come together to make a large church. Hallelujah. And as the church becomes larger, it will remain small enough to meet all the needs of the people. As it is said, large enough to include you, and small enough to know you. So we are large a church to include you, but we are small enough that we know you. You know, no one wants to be in a church where you are not known. You are not known. You are just a number. No one wants to be like that. But everyone is a very special person, and everyone wants to feel special. You want to be known. You want your needs to be met. Isn't that so? People want to feel important. People want to feel necessary. People want to feel loved. In small groups, we are able to express love. You know, I see some of the bus center, when it's someone's birthday, the way they celebrate, the church never celebrates your birthday like that. The church does not celebrate your birthday like that. So I'm encouraging that. I want to encourage that. When is your birthday in the bus center? They should celebrate it. Every bus center should celebrate the birthdays. It's nice. It's not much for the bus center members to say, we bought you a cake. Some people, they have never had cake in their lives. Do you understand? So it is nice that on someone's birthday, the bus center, you say, this week is your birthday. Whose birthday is this week? Anyone? Yes. You see? Yes. We have to celebrate. I don't know, but we will do it. We have to somehow. We will consult some people to help us to celebrate because we are online celebrators. Do you understand? Yeah, but when it's someone's birthday, just $2, $5, $3, just buy a nice cake and celebrate on a Tuesday when we have a bus center meeting. After your meeting, let this person cut a cake. Take nice photographs. Let the person feel special. Let the person feel that he's part of a family. Are you listening? It's nice. We're supposed to be happy within the family. We're supposed to be happy within ourselves. Amen. And we are not, it's not anything elaborate. We are not saying have a party and invite a DJ. Do you understand? It's just us, the bus center, with an MC. No MC. It's just us. And then we celebrate nicely. Amen. Is it a nice thing? Yes. People want to feel loved. So it is not just that we preach a nice sermon. That is not what makes a large church. It is the love that we experience in the church, the family, how important we are. When I come, I feel important. I feel belonging. Do you understand? When I come to the church, you know, right after the church, my bus center members are around me. You see, when we are in church, after church, bus centers should meet. They should say hello to each other and say, we didn't see you last Sunday. We didn't see you last Tuesday. Is everything okay? We should minister to the people. We cannot leave ourselves like that and then we just go at large. Each one for himself. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? Or you don't understand what I'm sharing with you? So let us develop this family, this small subgroups that the Lord has blessed us with. Amen. It is within these groups that we encourage people to do things for God. We do things for God. In your subgroups, in your bus centers, encourage people. It's not just we come and then we open a page in a book and then we share. But encourage people to feel belonging, to feel a part of it. Encourage them to do things for the church. Do something for God. Hallelujah. This is how we can establish people. Amen. I will not know what people are thinking, but within the bus center, I will not know what is going on with people. Amen. The next principle, let me give you this last one. Our time is up. Is the principle of the person X-oriented church. Today, the prophet was sharing about this principle. I encourage all of you to listen to the Flow Church. The principle of the person X-oriented church. So what is the person X-oriented church? What kind of church is described as person X-oriented? Hallelujah. You know, person X is the unknown member, the unrecognized member. Hallelujah. Today, Bishop was giving a list of what constitutes person X. He mentioned 7 people that fall into the category of person X. How many of you heard that? 7 people. He says, number 1, person X. So person X, how many of you, he was talking about Malcolm X. How many of you know about Malcolm X? So for him, he calls his last name X because he didn't know where he came from. And he says his ancestors came and they changed their names. They gave them all kinds of names. So he didn't want any of these names. So he called himself X, the unknown. Okay, so X is the variable which is unknown. In math, X is the unknown variable. You solve for X, which many of you have struggled with all your life. You never found X. Some of you, you never found X. Always someone had to help you find X. What is X? You are still searching. So X is the unknown. Is the unknown variable. Is the unknown member. And today the prophet was saying X is the visitor. A visitor is an X or visitors. The second X is poor people. You know, when people are poor, people do not recognize them. They don't count them worthy. Do you understand? But these are important people to Jesus. Very important people. When Jesus was given his identity as what really shows that he's the anointed one, he says that the poor are being preached to. So he's mindful of the poor. Are you listening? So if you are a poor person, you are very important to Jesus. And we ought to be important. We ought to treat such people with importance. The place where we went for evangelism was amazingly amazing. But poor people. Amen. You won't think that, you know, places like that exist in the United States. But they are all over the place. One day I heard Apostle Joel sharing about a place in LA where they went to evangelize. What do they call the place? Skid Row. Oh, Skid Row. Skid Row. Yes. Yeah. The other group is students. Students. You see, students don't usually have money. And so people don't treat them with importance, but they are very important part of the church. Very important part. You see, give me a wave, students. Yes, they are very important part. And if we can establish students, you can establish your church. They are the future of the church. You see, you are looking at them like that. They are future accountants, future doctors. You are looking at them like that. They are sitting down like that. They are future rich people. So any church which the Lord has anointed, you will see that you have to treat your students also with importance. Amen. If someone is in school, they are on a line of prosperity. They are on a line of prosperity. They will prosper. So we have to treat them well. They are important to Christ. So they are important today. They are important. Amen. And so you will realize that the list that I'm giving you, they are the people that add to the church. The next one are children. Children. That is why every now and then I make the children stay. They are important. Amen. And then the other colors, people who are different from you, people who are not like you. Amen. And then other nationalities. So you realize that these are people that you can easily overlook. Now, a church that is person X oriented, they are conscious of such people. Are you listening? So I want us to have a mind to transform our church to a person X-oriented church. What it means is that after church, these are the people that we mingle with. People who are unknown. People who are visitors. People who are students. Children. People who are not like you. People who are not from your country. Are you listening? That is a church that is person X oriented. And if a person comes to church and he sees that, a person falls in love with the church. Anyone falls in love with a church which is person X oriented. Children fall in love with the church. When children come here and they feel important, we feel we are making way for the children to have relevance and to have a platform in the church. They feel important. Don't you think so? Yeah. So traditionally, most churches are oriented towards established members. That is what is traditionally done. So you find out after church that people go to the people that they know, people that they have seen, people that they have been with for years. Last week when we were having the barbecue, I saw small groups of people that they know. Do you understand? But there are people that have been with us or that have joined us that were standing alone or even doing things and no one is with them. But we want to be person-esque oriented. People that are unknown are the ones that we orient ourselves to. They are the ones that we want to mingle with. We want to chat with. We want to sit with. We want to eat with. People who are not like you. Is somebody listening to me? So we ought to treat our visitors well. That is why we try to project our songs so everyone can sing, including the choir. Amen. They think we don't know. Hallelujah. So make your mind that after church you are looking for someone that you have not met before. You are looking for someone that you have not spoken to before. How many of you know Pillow? How many of you know her? See, 1, 2, 3. That's it. You know? She's been in a church for a long time. She's been in a church for a long time. And she's in church today. So today, get to know her. Do you understand? Yeah. My sister, what's your name? My sister in green, what's your name? Ashley. Yes, Ashley. Is that Ashley? Oh. The light is in my face. How many of you know Ashley? Yeah. You see. Who else knows Ashley? So be a person-esque oriented Christian. Amen. My great friends over there, Lauren, Heavenly, and Darling. How many of you know them? Okay, wonder. We are popular girls. The church knows you. You are stars. Amen. You ought to know your members. You ought to know them. Hallelujah. So when a church is person X oriented, it is on the road towards increase, because growth will come through new members and converts, new people who are added to the church. 1 Corinthians 12:23, it says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Hallelujah. We bestow more abundant honor. Amen. Wonderful. Well, there are so many principles, and we cannot share all of them today. So we will continue next time we meet. Hallelujah. Clap your hands together for the Lord and rise to your feet as we bring the service to a close. So, 4 principles. The principle of the multiplied senior pastor. The principle of maximized Sunday usage. And the principle of smaller subdivisions. And finally, the principle of person X oriented church. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a person X oriented church member. I belong to person X oriented church. Amen. Wonderful. May the Lord help us. Father, we are grateful and thankful. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to carry on these principles, to establish your church, to increase your church, to enlarge your church. That, Lord, we'll be a church that is person-esque oriented. We'll be a church with smaller subdivisions, with families, smaller families, where we are known and happy within the families. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to be a church that maximizes the usage of Sunday, the usage of a day that is dedicated to you and to serving you. And Lord, help us that we will be many, many pastors multiplied in this church, that we can minister to our members. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to give everyone here an opportunity. You are here. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to be born again. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Give me a wave and I'll pray with you. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Give me a wave and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Give me a wave. Anyone here like that? Why don't you all join me and say this prayer? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. From today, I choose you as my Lord, as my Master, as my Savior. I welcome you into my life. Lord Jesus, have your way in me. I will serve you. I will follow you. So help me, Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.